Well, good morning. It's been a few weeks since I've been up here and been able to share God's Word with you, so I'm excited to get into God's Word with you together again today. If you have a Bible, please turn to Mark chapter 12. We're going to be in, once again, 28 through 34 as we go into part 4 of our All In series. Mark chapter 12, verses 28 through 34. Let's pray as we get into God's Word together. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity we have to study your Word. And I pray that you will guide us today. I pray that you'll speak to our hearts. Holy Spirit, convict us, challenge us, change us. Lord, help us to not leave here the same. Lord, I pray that we will learn from your Word what it means more and more to love you with all of our heart, with all our soul, with all of our mind, and with all of our strength, Lord. And that we won't just learn it, that we'll take it and we'll apply it to our lives. Lord, I pray that you'll receive honor today. I pray that you will receive the focus of our hearts today, the focus of our minds today, that all of our strength will pour into this as we learn from you. Guide us, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Mark chapter 12, verse 28 through 34, we read this. One of the scribes approached when he heard them debating and saw that Jesus answered them well. He asked him, "Which command is the most important of all?" "This is the most important," Jesus answered. "Listen, Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other command greater than these." Then the scribe said to him, "You are right, teacher. You have correctly said that he is one, and there is no one else except him. And to love him with all your heart, with all your understanding, and with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself is far more important than all the burnt offerings and sacrifices." When Jesus saw that he answered intelligently, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." And no one dared to question him any longer. We've looked at this passage now for 4 weeks. This is our fourth week into this. And we've talked about what we would consider maybe the greatest command. And I hope that you have aligned your thinking to what Christ says here as the greatest command, because when Christ says it's the greatest command, being God, it is the greatest command. But many times we throw up other things as the greatest command. And whether it's worship or whether it's Bible reading or going to church or witnessing to others, all the things that we would throw out necessarily as the greatest command should actually indeed fall under a response to this command. We should worship God because of our love for him with everything that we are. We should be in the Bible because of our love for him with everything we are. These are outcomes of the response to the greatest command, to love God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, and with all of our strength. And when we started looking at heart. What does it mean to love God with all of our heart? And we talked about our affections, our desires, our passions, our emotions. Then in week 3 of this study, Pastor Ben shared about loving God with all of your soul. Loving God with who you really are. With all the concerns and the fears all laid out before God. To allow God to speak into our deepest part. Into our dreams, into our hopes, into our frustrations. And these are all laid bare before God. This week we're going to go into loving God with all of our mind. What does it mean to love God with all of your mind? Well, you look up a simple definition of loving God with all your mind, you get something like this. To love God with all your mind is to love him with all of your intelligence. With your decision making, with your disciplines. I want to simplify that a little bit more. Basically, loving God with all of your mind is to seek to know Him and to seek to follow Him with your decisions and your thoughts. And in response to that, you seek to make Him known with your life. That's what it means to love God with all of your mind. So I want to give us three steps today. Three steps today to develop this all-in kind of love. And before I do that, pause. This is going to drive me crazy. It's falling off my ear. Commercial break there. There we go. Three steps to develop this all-in kind of love for God. First of all, as I stated there, the seeking to know God, seeking to follow God with our decisions and our thoughts and making Him known in this world, that's the kind of love and God with all of our mind we're looking for. So how do we develop that? We need to choose to direct our minds to know God. Choose to direct our minds to know God. How do we do that? We develop Bible reading habits. Habits, many times, is something that we think of as a bad thing. I had habits growing up. Habits like biting my nails. Habits like I was a blanket sucker. So I liked the silk on a blanket. I don't know why, but that's what comforted me at night, and so I was a blanket sucker. My sister had some strange habits. She was a fuzz eater. Yeah, that's a weird one. She'll probably come here someday and you'll be like, are you the fuzz eater? No, that was the other sister. But we all have some weird habits we develop maybe growing up. And so we automatically associate habits with bad things. And we're trying to quit habits many times. But there are also good habits. If you are someone who washes your hands after you go to the bathroom, fabulous habit to have, okay? If you are someone who brushes your teeth at night and in the morning, fabulous habit to have. These are great habits to develop, and these are habits that as parents you have to develop and instill in your kids as you raise them. Those are good habits. But there's also other good spiritual habits we should develop, and one is getting into God's Word. This habit is a huge pattern that will develop our love with our mind for God. A habit, by definition, is a regular, repeated behavior or pattern. So it can be a great thing. You see, having the habit of getting into God's Word has amazing benefits for us as Christians. Because in God's Word is everything that we need for growing in our faith. See, 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all Scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. You see, as we get into God's Word, as we get into Scripture, that is what is training us. Through the power of the Holy Spirit's convicting in our lives and God guiding us through His Word, we are trained, we are taught, we are rebuked, we are changed, we are challenged, corrected. This is how we know what righteousness is. This is how we know where we receive righteousness from Christ. This is how we know how we are to follow by being in God's Word. And it equips us. I was having a conversation with a missionary this week, and he said one of the main things they have to do in college ministry is teach students how to have a Bible study, because they had never been taught as a child, or they had never been taught growing up how to have a Bible study. And that got me thinking of how many of us know how to have a Bible study in our life. Has that become a daily habit, a part of your routine? I want to give you 8 steps in developing a Bible study, developing this seeking God or choosing to direct our minds towards God step here. First of all, I want to encourage you to find a translation of the Bible that you can understand. Many times working in youth ministry, I would sit down with students and they'd read something to me and I'd say to them, now, can you tell me what that said? And they would say to me, no. No clue what that said. And then I'd hand them a different translation and they would read it. And I would say, now, can you tell me what that said? And they would know exactly what it said. We cannot get stuck on a translation. We need to be, as far as getting into God's Word, reading a biblical translation, a true translation, one that is true to Scripture. But there is no certain translation that is the be-all, end-all of translations. And so we can't say to someone, well, you can only read that certain one, because they may for years be struggling and struggling and struggling to understand what God's Word is saying, and they just can't comprehend what the words are saying. And so I want to encourage you, find the translation that you can indeed understand. And I get this so much more, and I don't know, maybe it's because I have dyslexia and I struggle reading anyway. And so for me to find a translation that I can actually read is a huge thing. If you hand me a Bible today that I'm not used to reading because my mind works in patterns. And so if you hand me a Bible that I'm not used to reading, I would struggle to understand it because my mind works in that way. And so I found one that I could understand. I want to encourage you to find a translation that you can understand, step one. Step two, set a daily plan. Sometimes it's easy just to set a time, whether it's first thing before you go to work, whether it's last thing before you go to bed. But many times if you set it as the last thing, it gets pushed to the next day last thing and then the next day last thing. So find a time in your day that you can get into God's Word, whether it's lunchtime at work, whether it's during your early morning bowl of oatmeal, whether it's before you eat, whatever it may be, set a plan that you can get into God's Word. Next, start in one book. Start in one book of the Bible. Whether you start in Genesis, whether you start in Matthew, whether you start in John, whether you start in Psalms, start in one book of the Bible. Don't jump all throughout the Bible. Don't go to your daily Bible reading time and go, okay, what am I going to read today? And just open it up and read a passage. Go either sequentially throughout the Bible, maybe read the whole Old Testament, read the whole New Testament, whatever it may be. Start in a book and read it from beginning to end so you can get the big picture of the story of what you're reading. And that way you can also understand the passage that you're reading, the context that you're reading it out of. It's dangerous to just take one passage and to run that for your day without reading it within the context of what it's written in. And so read an entire book and understand the context that it's written in. I'd encourage you, as you read God's Word, to have a pen or to have a pencil. I'm a big fan of writing within my Bible. I like to write in my Bible because I will have it every single time I have my Bible. And so when I'm in God's Word, I have notes all the way down the sides of things that God has challenged me with. And so it's always right here. I don't have to go find the notebook I wrote in 2015 because it's right here within the Bible itself that I've already written it next to it. My notes will never trump God's Word because I've actually gone back and read something and gone, wow, I misunderstood that the first time I've read that, and I had to make some different notes on that. And so I encourage you to make some notes. Pencil's a great thing because you can then erase it. Pen, I use that, highlighter, things like that. And so have something that you can make notes as God points things out to you in your life that you are challenged by. Remind yourself what you are reading is step five. Remind yourself what you're reading. This is God's Word. As you come into it, don't come into it nonchalantly as though it's just another book. Come into it realizing that this is the Word of God. Look to learn from the Word of God. Seek to know Him more. We're seeking to love Him with all of our mind. We're pouring into this so that we can gain knowledge and understanding from God's Word. And so remember, this is the Word of God. Remember what you are reading. Next, pray before you read. Pray that God will help you grow in your understanding. Pray that God will convict you, challenge you, change you, will encourage you, whatever it may be for that day. Pray that God will speak to you during your Bible reading. And then I want to encourage you to ask some questions. Here's some simple questions to ask as you read God's Word. Step 7 is read and ask questions as you read. And here's some questions to ask yourself. Is there a promise here to claim as I read? Is there a promise here that I can claim for my life? Not a promise to Moses necessarily, a promise to Noah necessarily, but a promise to all of God's people that I can grab and take into my life. Is there a command here that God is giving me that I need to obey? Is there a command that is given to all of God's people that needs to be obeyed by my life, where my life has to take form into this, where I have to concede and say I haven't been following the right way? And that goes into the third question. Is there a sin to confess that God has convicted me of here? Next, ask yourself, is there an example to follow? As I read through these Bible characters and I read about their life and how they followed Christ or how they responded to God and His words throughout the Old Testament, is there an example that I need to follow here? Is there a behavior in my life that I need to change? Is the next question. As I read God's Word, is there something that God has shown me that my behavior is off, my attitude is off in what I have been doing, and I need to adjust that to God's Word? Is there a behavior to change? Is there encouragement to be received? Next, is there insight to be gained? Is there encouragement to be received? Is there insight to be gained? And the last two, is there an issue to pray about? Is there something here that I've now learned that I need to start praying about? And then lastly, is there a reason to worship God? And then I would encourage you as you close out with the reading and the question, asking yourself these questions as you get into God's Word, to close with prayer after you read. Developing habits like this will change your mind. And I can put that list of questions in next week's bulletin and so you can have it. But there are questions I actually have taped above my desk on my computer screen. Great questions to ask as you get into God's Word. And as you seek to love God with all your intellect, with all your mind, your decision-making, your disciplines, and you ask these questions, you go, where in the world do I need to adjust so that I can become, as 2 Timothy says, equipped for every good work or a complete in God? The second step to developing an all-in love, an all-in love in our minds, is to seek to think clearly about the Bible. To seek to think clearly about the Bible or about God's Word. This week was our very first year of 4-H. And it was an interesting year of 4-H. I had times wrong. And so projects that were completed weren't turned in because I had the time wrong. We signed up for some things that halfway through the season or halfway through the, I don't know what you call 4-H. It's not season. Baseball's a season. 4-H time. There was, okay, I want to do this. Okay, we're running out of time. I'm not going to do that type things. But there, it was very interesting because there was times during the year that I had to really buckle down and seek to think clearly about what was going on, about our schedule. I had to step back and go, okay, we've got like a few weeks to go. I need to really figure out what's going on because my mind really doesn't understand this. And for a long time, I had received emails and received this and received that, and I had been kind of keeping those things so that later on I could look at them. And I think we kind of work that way in our Christian life sometimes. We receive all sorts of God's Word, and we hear it preached, or we read it, and we think, well, I'm going to get back to that. I'm going to apply that someday, instead of actually seeking to understand it and to apply it to our lives. Then we kind of compartmentalize it for later. And that's what I did with 4-H this year is I heard a whole bunch of information. Sorry, Gretchen. And I heard a whole bunch of stuff going on. And I'm like, I'm not sure exactly how to deal with this plus everything else. I will get to that. And by the time I got to it, I was 5 hours late for one of the things and 10 hours early for the other thing. I don't want to do that with my Christian life. I felt bad enough that I did it with my son's project, but I don't want to do it with my Christian life. I want to make sure that everything that I hear is being taken and known as truth, because I've compared it to God's word, and then I have taken that and I have applied it to my life. Not saying I'll save that for later. I want to seek to know that clearly later. Or, yeah, you know what? That sounds good. That sounds like truth. I'll just take that and run with it without actually checking to know whether it is truth. You've probably seen one of these lists before. I saw this list a while back of 7 teachings that Christians believe that aren't actually in the Bible. 7 teachings Christians believe that aren't actually in the Bible. Okay, here you go. God helps those who help themselves. Not in the Bible. Not in the Bible. Actually, Matthew 16:24 says, if anyone wants to follow me, let him deny himself, not help himself. Let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Second one, teachings that aren't in the Bible that Christians believe. God wants me to be happy. God wants me to be happy. You know, God wants us to be obedient, to trust him, to trust that no matter what is going on in our life, God is working for a great outcome in that, a good outcome in that. As Romans 8:28 says, we know that all things work for the good of those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. And so even though in the moment the thing may not make you happy, and being obedient may not make you happy, it is for your good in God. Third false teaching that many Christians believe is that we are all God's children. We are all God's children. You ever hear that said before? Everyone in the world, we're all God's children. God did create everyone. Well, the Bible is very clear who the children of God are. It actually distinguishes between the children of God and the children of Satan. There is a difference. See, John 1:12 says, but to all who did receive him, he gave them the right to be called children of God, to those who believe in his name. Those who believe in him, have placed their faith in him alone, those are the ones that are God's children. We are not all God's children. The fourth false teaching that many Christians believe is God won't give me more than I can handle. You ever heard that one? God won't give me more than I can handle. We live in a fallen world. This world is more than we can handle. God never promises to give us only what we can handle. There's many times in Scripture where it was too much to bear. 2 Corinthians 1:8 says this, we didn't want you to be unaware, brothers and sisters, of our affliction that took place in Asia. We were completely overwhelmed beyond our strength so that we even despised life itself. You see, it got so hard, I despised living. But their only hope was God. God does promise to be with us no matter what we're going through. But he does not promise to only give us what we can handle, because Christ says this, come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. fifth thing that many Christians believe that is not true. It's not in Scripture. Bad things happen to good people. Bad things happen to good people. You know that Scripture tells us that none of us are good. None of us are righteous. Romans 3:10 says, as it is written, there is no one righteous, not even one. So bad things happen to bad people because no one is righteous. When we die, God gains another angel. It's not in the Bible. There is a huge difference between human beings created in God's image and angels. Angels actually long to know the gospel message that we know. They long to know the righteousness that we can receive from Christ. 1 Peter 1:12 says, these things have been announced to you, being us, have been announced to you through those who preach the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Angels long to catch a glimpse of these things. There's a huge distinction between us and angels. Angels are created beings, but humans do not become angels when they die and go to heaven. That is not biblical. And the seventh one that I've heard a lot more lately, we all worship the same God. No. No, we do not. We do not. Deuteronomy 4:39 says, today, recognize and keep in mind the Lord is God in heaven above and on earth below. There is no other. There's no other God. In Acts 4:12 says there's only one way to salvation. There is salvation in no one else. There is no other name under heaven given to people by which we must be saved. Speaking in the name of Jesus Christ. So I want to encourage you. When you hear something, go into God's Word. Check it next to God's Word. You see, Satan likes to twist truths like he did for Eve. He took a section of what God had said about eating in the garden, and he added his own little words into that to distort it enough to maybe sound like truth, but not be the full truth. I encourage us all to be like the church in Berea. You see, in Acts 17:10-12, it speaks of this church as they heard the gospel message. They received the words with eagerness and excitement, and they were in the scriptures daily to see if the things were so. You read about that in Acts 17:10-12. They received the words and they enthusiastically, excitedly went into Scripture daily to see if the things were so. And because they did that, they then believed. Scripture says, consequently, many of them believed because of that response. And so, as we seek to develop this loving God with all of our minds, that we need to make sure that we're actually loving God, the truth that is proclaimed about God, not lies that are distorted within the world or things that people say because it sounds semi-religious, even though it's not biblically true. And so no matter what we're hearing, it's key to have a Bible, look up what is being said. I always encourage you, just don't take me at my word. Yes, I am preaching the truth of God's word, but get into God's word yourself and check out what I'm reading, check out what I'm saying. Seek to know God's word clearly. And the last step to developing this all-in love with all of our mind is to seek to let God daily renew our minds. This is a step of seeking God's ways and laying down our ways. This is a daily step of going as you're getting into God's word and you develop this habit and you're getting into God's word and you're saying, okay, I want to know God. I want to know God more. And I want to know the truth of God's word more. And then you're coming into it and you're going, I also want to make sure that I am aligning with God's word. And so I'm willing to, any way God shows me, lay down my way to follow his way. It's having a heart cry like Psalm 139, 23 and 24, where it says this, search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my concerns. See if there is any offensive way in me. Lead me in the everlasting way. Search me, know me, reveal anything in my life that's off, that's offensive to you, and lead me on the right path. Romans 12, 2 says this, do not be conformed to this age. Do not be conformed to this age. Stopping there for a second. The thing that we're around the most, the thing that we allow to be the most influential in our life or we're pouring into the most many times is the thing that conforms our mind the most. The things that we think about, worry about, pour into, spend our time doing. Those things many times conform our mind. And so this is the point where we're going, and we're challenged here, and we're commanded here to not conform to the world, to not be like that anymore. To step back and go, maybe I've allowed some things in my life to start conforming my mind to think a different way than I should be thinking. And so I need to step back and go, okay, am I thinking this way because of the world? Am I thinking this way because of my upbringing? Am I thinking this way because of my busy life? Am I thinking this way because I have allowed so many influences into my life that I have started to act like this? Or is it the way God has called me to think and be? Do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may discern what is good, pleasing, and perfect will of God. It's a daily renewal. As we get into God's word and we go, God, I really want to make sure that I'm in line with you. I want to submit to your lordship in all of my life. And so as I read today, if there's anything in my life where my mind is off, where I've conformed to this world instead of being transformed by you, I want to submit to that and follow you. And so we start to read, and we start to look at our life, and we start to prayerfully have some things revealed. And we go, I need to change. I need to conform, not to this world, but be transformed by God's word. And it's a process. It's a daily process, it's a weekly process, monthly, yearly process of God challenging us, convicting us laying it down, asking for forgiveness for our sin, and following him. But many of us have not stepped into that process. Many have a different process. Many of us have the process of an overly busy life. Many of us have a process of spending very little time learning from God's word. Many of us have a process of having more influence in our mind by the world than God's word. And so I want to challenge you to enter the process of being renewed by God's word, by getting into God's word personally. Don't let this be the only time you open a Bible during the week. Don't let this be the only time you open God's Word today even. It's so convenient now to read God's Word on your phone. You can do that. Just find a way to get into God's Word daily where you can be transformed, be bringing in knowledge of God. But the key in the end is this. Don't just bring in knowledge. That knowledge is then to be taken to action in our lives. We need to live out what God is challenging us with. We need to live out God's Word in our lives on a daily basis. And when you miss a day, start back up. Keep on going. Keep on getting into God's Word. Do it in response to God's amazing love for you. See, growing up, I used to think if I missed a day, God loved me less. God loves you. Don't use his love as an excuse to not pursue him, but let his love propel you to pursue him. Realize that. And grow in your love for him as this passage in Mark we're reading here. Love God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind. And next week we're going to do all of your strength after the teens share at the beginning of service. And so what does it look like to love God with all of our mind? It's to seek to know him, to seek to know his ways, to submit to those in our lives, and then to make him known in this world. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for each person here today, each of our church family, Lord. Lord, I pray that you'll help us to be men and women of the Word. Lord, that we won't just seek to know your Word, but that we'll seek to apply your Word to our lives. That we won't just seek to know you or to hear from someone else about you, but that we'll seek to know you in the truth of you from your Word. And Lord, that we won't just seek to read your Word, but we'll seek to be transformed by you through the work of the Holy Spirit as we get into your Word, Lord, as you challenge us and change us, Lord, that we'll submit to the truth, submit to your call in our lives. Lord, this week, help us to be committed to love you with all of our mind, to grow in that. And Lord, as we grow in our knowledge, that we will grow in action for you. We pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen. I want to encourage you as we sing this closing song to spend some time praying yourself. That God will help you to get into his Word this week, that you will grow in your understanding of him, that you will grow in the truth of his Word, and that you will grow in the action of applying it in your life. Let's stand and let's close with a song.